Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Chris Jordan is our new friend, ladies and gentlemen, and our guest this half hour. Chris is a Seattle-based photographic artist. His work is focuses on the darkly compelling part of America's consumer society. His images have appeared in CNN and the New York Times, Smithsonian Magazine, and on and on. I'm not surprised because as I look through his new book, in Katrina's wake, he truly is a professional and an artist. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Now you had the idea for the book, right? You took the photographs, had the idea for the book, and then you realized that you needed some words, and so you collaborated with some wordsmiths, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I spent a month photographing down in New Orleans and on the Gulf Coast soon after Katrina, and what was visible there to me was the detritus that had been left, people's belongings, and this incredibly sad visual landscape. And so I took a lot of photographs of that, but when I was there, I also realized that there were other issues present that I couldn't photograph, things like the racial inequality and the failures of the response and the fact that the whole thing might have been caused by global warming. And so I contacted a couple of famous authors and asked them to contribute these essays and was really delighted when they both agreed to do that.
Right. Now, what caused you to go down there? You live in Seattle. What made you go down there?
Well, you know, I'd actually never even been to New Orleans before, and so I didn't have much of a connection with it. But being up here in Seattle, I just experienced this bizarre disconnect when I saw all this media coverage of what was obviously a monumental tragedy happening in our own country.
A biblical proportions.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet there seemed to be this sense of disconnection between our government and what was going on down there. And then even the media, after a few weeks, seemed to kind of leave it behind as if it was something that was already finished.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear to me that the tragedy, even weeks and months after Katrina happened, the tragedy, the human tragedy, was still happening, and yet it sort of dropped off the national radar.
And it is still happening. Now, when were you down there? Literally today is the first anniversary of when the world woke up and saw how bad things were in New Orleans, at least. So how long after that were you down there?
I was down there in November and December of 2005, so it was about 10 weeks after the hurricane happened.
Right. So everything had pretty much dried out by then.
Yeah, most of the streets had been bulldozed. It took them a long time to clear the hurricane debris to the point where you could even get around at all.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of neighborhoods were closed up until the time that I went in. And when I got there, there was this bizarre scene where some of the neighborhoods were still closed, and there were military personnel standing there with machine guns guarding anybody from entering these neighborhoods, like the Ninth Ward, for example, down in New Orleans.
Right. Now, your book is basically it's a coffee table book. It's the architecture and the form of the book. It reminds me of a coffee table book. But when I think of a coffee table book, and your photography is absolutely world class. I mean, the quality of your work is just excellent. But this is not a typical coffee table book, is it?
Well, I kind of like to think of it as being something different. Photographers, you know, the photographic work is considered to be, it's like a language. And what the way I want this book to function is that there are two essays in there written by famous authors, and my photographs, the way that I took them, you don't have to know anything about photographic art. You know, you don't have to have a PhD to figure out what it is that I'm saying. And so what I'm hoping is that people will be able to simply read my photographs just the same way you would read an article in the newspaper, except it's just in a different language. But there's a simple and very heartfelt message in there that you can almost read. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And that's exactly how I took it. I want to come back though to a couple of things that you said a few minutes ago, because I want to get this out on the table. You talked about the inequality a minute ago there. That's one of the things I want to talk about. When you saw what you saw, you talked about, did you call it racial inequality?
Racial. There was
tell
an
me
awful
what you,
lot
tell
of
me what you
inequality.
Saw. Tell me what you thought when you saw that.
It was really frightening to be down there and to see this evidence of the kinds of things that you would expect to see in a third world country. And as I was driving through areas in New Orleans that had been devastated by the levees breaking, and other areas nearby that had been devastated by the flooding just from the storm surge, and seeing the way certain neighborhoods had been laid to waste by the way the levees were designed.
Right.
And realize that those were the black neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the way the response had happened, the economic inequality, in other words, knowing that if this had happened in New York, the response would have been completely different. But it happened in the Deep South, and somehow the nation treats the Deep South differently than it treats New York or California.
You know, Chris, I disagree with you about that. I just think you're wrong about the response thing. I think the response caught everybody by surprise. I agree with you in one area. When I watched what was going on down there, and I saw that it was taking longer to get down there than I thought it should have. I thought we should have been a little bit maybe more prepared in the beginning. I don't think anybody in America didn't respond to that. If there was any bad response, it was just in ineptitude. I don't think there was any racial intent there. But I do have some other questions along those lines I want to ask you. And I want to ask you about your comment about global warming when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Chris Jordan. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're visiting with Chris Jordan. Chris is the photographer and the visionary behind this book that I'm looking at. It's called In Katrina's Wake, Portraits of Loss from an Unnatural Disaster. Chris, tell us where the book's available. You have your own website too, please?
My website is just www.chrisjordan.com,
right.
And the book is available through all the normal national retailers as well as lots of local little bookstores.
Chris, when we went to the break, I was taking issue with you. The South Louisiana culture contributed to this disaster because, as I said in a previous hour with another guest, South, as we have been commemorating, so to speak, memorializing the anniversary of this horrific event, the culture in South Louisiana contributed to this loss because it's a culture that doesn't take things as seriously, in my opinion, as it should, And if they did, you know, there have been reports now for decades, Chris, that those levees weren't going to hold in a level 3 or 4 hurricane. And yet the local politicians, the government, the federal politicians, back for generations, for decades, didn't do what should have been done to protect anybody, let alone the, you know, blacks or whites. None of the folks were properly protected. And so it really troubled me to pick on the current day politicians for being, you know, not as quick to respond as they should have been, when the truth is that the blame, in my opinion, goes back a long way.
Yeah, you know, soon after Katrina, I read a fascinating book called The Rising Tide that sort of went through the whole history of the levees and what led up to the giant flood of 1927, which made Katrina look small by comparison. 900,000 people lost their homes in that one.
Wow.
And it's really fascinating and macabre to see how the local politics and lack of vision has, you know, over 150 years has slowly led up to these disasters like Katrina.
But nobody talks about the people who allow that to happen. All they talk about are the people who aren't saving them today. And I think that's misdirected. What do you think?
Well, I guess it's kind of a mixture of those things, because, you know, people like George Bush, you know, everyone could blame George Bush for the failure of response in Katrina, and yet, and on one hand, that's true, and then on the other hand, he inherited something that's 150 years old. And
that's my point.
Amazingly complex.
That's exactly my point. Chris, yeah. I want to move over and talk about something else that you mentioned a minute ago, because I can't let that go unanswered, and that was your comment about global warming. Now, can you repeat what you said? Do you remember what you said about that?
Yeah, well, there's an argument being made in scientific circles that Katrina can, in some degree, be attributed to global warming.
Right.
And, of course, hurricanes themselves are natural events, and Katrina was probably a natural event. But the fact that it was a Category 5 hurricane is directly attributable to the temperature of the water in the Gulf of Mexico, which is, in some places, the temperature in the water of the water in the Gulf of Mexico is 95 degrees.
Right.
And the hotter that water gets, the more energy it has to contribute to a hurricane.
Of course, and now, to be accurate, Katrina did not come ashore as a Category 5. It came ashore as a Category 3.
Yeah.
It had downgraded by the time it got to the country. Just to be accurate on that part of it. But let me ask you this question. This year, the water in the Gulf is a lot cooler. Is that global warming?
Well, who knows?
The reason I say that is some people when they talk about global warming, and I'm not saying you're one of these people, when they talk about global warming, they talk about it like it's somebody's fault. As opposed to a natural phenomenon. I mean, as you know, 10,000 years ago, Kentucky was under a mile of ice and two elephants roamed there. You know, so yeah, global, you know, 15,000 years ago, some of our ancestors crossed the land bridge between Russia and Alaska. Global warming's been going on a long time, hasn't it?
Well, that's a really tough thing, because you know, everyone can have an opinion on whether global warming is happening and whether humans are responsible for it. And the only people who really are in a position to talk about it with authority are scientists.
Right.
You know, and to me, it's kind of like, it's a little bit like going to the doctor and being diagnosed with cancer. Like, it's something that we can't see, and that none of us are experts about, and if a doctor were to tell you that we had some kind of cancer, we just have to trust the expertise of this person whose job it is to know about those kind of things.
The interesting thing is, though, is in the political circles, there are some who believe that humans are responsible for global warming, and there are some that don't. I actually believe that humans are somewhat responsible for an increase in global warming. But, Chris, we've run out of time. Will you come back another day and talk about this with us some more?
Oh, I'd be delighted to discuss with you more, Jim.
I've enjoyed our visit. I hope you have.
I sure have.
Give us your website again. Tell us how we can find your book again.
It's www.chrisjordan.com.
And they can find out more about the book there, too, can't they?
Yeah, there's lots about the book on my website.
And it's available wherever books are sold, In Katrina's Wake by Chris Jordan. Thank you, Chris. See you next time.
All right, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Darby Checkitz right after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.